We also want to welcome each one this evening to the house of the Lord. I want to express some appreciation for all the prayers, all the cards, all the deeds of kindness that have been shared with Patsy and I through this difficult time. We don't know exactly what's ahead, but we know God does, and our lives are in His hands, and we live a day at a time trusting Him. So I want to thank you for your kindness and love you shared with us. God bless you for it. Tonight we want to speak on the subject of thick on these things. Basically, the thought is from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I read that Martin Luther sometimes in his life experienced times of depression. And one time as he was passing through a fiery trial, Cindy, dressed in black and entered his study, she said, "God is dead." "Nonsense, God lives," answered Luther. Then she replied, "If you believe that God is living, act like it, live like it." Some time ago, a sister mentioned to us that her daughter asked her if she was sad, and she answered no. Then the daughter said, "You ought to tell your face." What type of Christians are we? How is it with us? Do we act and live through every situation with a faith that God lives and that our lives are in His hands? Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Every person's mind is a battlefield. God desires our love, our obedience, and our service, but the devil tries to hinder our response. Way back in the Garden of Eden, the question Satan asked, "Hath God said?" Does it really matter if I eat? Is there really a God? In 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." What about a Christian's mind? Is there really a battle? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear," Apostle Paul speaking, "by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ." So the battle for our mind goes on after salvation. And the sad fact is that some Christians do not even realize they're in a battle. Satan knows the powerful effects of hearing a message repeatedly over a long period of time and then from different sources. Vance Packer, in his book, The People Shaper, claims the advertisers spend about 3 3/10 billion a year to keep the American consumer's passion for material things growing stronger, and they're being very successful. Their goal is to give us an appeal for material comforts and reshape our lifestyle to the status consciousness. They are doing a successful job, much to Satan's delight. It is estimated that mothers in the United States spend up to $4 billion extra a year to the urging of their television brainwashed children. We may hear a news man say it, that a famous athlete or glamorous Hollywood personality, then a liberal minister, then Satan has many people hooked. It seems we forget what God has said. Satan has so many lies, and it's so easy to accept them. Like Satan says through many ways, sex before marriage is all right if. Homosexuality is fine if. What is wrong with drugs if? What is wrong with divorce and remarriage if? What is wrong with abortion if? Why can't I listen to any type of music? Why shouldn't I be angry? I've been mistreated. Are you sure This is what God's word really means. Hath, God said. We as Christians need to take God at his word. And when he says it, we need to accept it and believe it. According to God's word, our minds can become doubtful. In Luke 12:29, our minds can be defiled from Titus 1:15. We can be blinded. 2 Corinthians 3:14. Our minds can be corrupted. 2 Corinthians 11:3. And our minds can be shaken. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Our minds can be hardened. Daniel 5:20. And then our minds can be faint. Hebrews 12:13. Our minds can be despiteful. Ezekiel 36 and verse 5. So the Bible makes it very clear that how our minds can be corrupted, and we need to be aware of that. They tell us that North Americans spend over $500 million a year for drugs to relieve their anxieties of their minds. Suicide rates ranks as the third leading cause of death among American teenagers. Why? Because minds are being filled by the devil's suggestions instead of minds being filled with what God has said. Do you have a troubled mind? Do you have doubts? Do you have fears? As God's children, our confidence should be in him. Doesn't matter what comes, it has to go through God's hands first. And that's always been a comfort to me. We need to take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That's complete trust in God and his word. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, direct touch from God through his word gives us an increase of faith. We have the assurance, I'm a child of God. I have supernatural resources to resist Satan. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I am. We can never stand against him without the Holy Spirit's power. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to submit ourselves first to God. We're God's child and put our lives into his hands and then resist the devil and he'll have to flee from us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How is our trust? How is our faith? I remember a short time ago, we were visiting in the home and we were talking about some things we have to go through in life with surgery. And it was talking about my heart operation. And this sister said, weren't you afraid? I said, no, I wasn't afraid. I'm God's child. If my time's up here, I'm ready to go. And I'm in his hands. If he allows it, it's for a purpose. It seemed like it was hard for her to believe that. And I rule that all of us are tempted by Satan to doubt. But we should have our confidence. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. There are 8 words to characterize what should fill the Christian's thought life. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report. If it be any virtue, if it be any praise, think on these things. First of all, think what is true, what is correct, what is right. It's so easy for our minds to be confused. And we think on our own things. Our minds are filled from radios and televisions and news and the newspapers with all types of problems about us. And we can dwell on them problems. And the more we dwell on those problems, the more disgusted we are. and the more Satan has power in our life to discourage us. So we need to think on right things. What is true? What is correct? What is right? Truth in John 8:36. If a son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We need to accept God's word as the final authority. If God says it, it will happen, and we need to trust him. That's truth. We're all sinners, lost in need of a Savior. Jesus died for me because he loves me and he loves you. Satan lies to destroy us. Remember, we need to resist, need to live and seek what is truth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. In other words, we need to look at God's word and realize this is God's word and not take man's theories and philosophies and accept them as God's authority. So many people are being misled by many false teachers. It also said we should speak and live truth. In Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we should think about truth. Secondly, think what is honest. Are all my thoughts about things of honest value? How about dealing with fellow Christians? Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. As a worker, do we give our employer an honest day's work? Are we honest? As an employer, do we pay honest wages? Serious-minded, honest with God and others. You know, respect can be earned and demanded. It is done by having our mind on things that are worth. Thirdly, things that are just, think on those. It refers to the right way of looking at all things. How would the Lord evaluate this matter? Now we can evaluate things, but we have it wrong sometimes. How would the Lord evaluate? Am I being just? Every day Satan seeks to feed his false philosophy and thoughts into our minds through unbelieving friends and relatives and sometimes teachers and false workers, fellow workers. Is it right? Is it consistent with God's word? It may sound so good, but is it just? Think on these things that are pure. Purity, the absence of anything that stains or defiles or corrupts. God's word labels adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all as impure. But today, I just heard on the news that in many countries, especially wealthy countries, many of these things are accepted as a norm. But among some poorer people, they realize what God says. Where do we stand in that? Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And also the warning is that women who display themselves are also guilty. Are we keeping our homes clean? Are our children and grandchildren, our wives and our daughters, living pure, holy lives? But how about we as men? We're supposed to be the examples, the leaders. How are we living before our families? In 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep yourself pure. In Psalm 103 and verse 3, excuse me, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, which shall not cleave to me. Is there a wicked thing before your eyes, a computer, a television, magazines, whatever it may be. We need a clean house. We need to screen every thought and refuse to dwell on those that are impure. We need to realize, and I think we forget too many times, if we have a sin of using our eyes in the wrong way and lusting. When Christ hung on Calvary, he died for that sin of impurity, as well as every other thing. Think on things that are lovely. Lovely represents the pleasantness and graciousness and encourages peace and harmony. If we keep mulling over matters that increase tension and strife with someone, we are not growing in the Lord and enjoying the peace of mind. All of us here this evening have received unkind words or actions from someone. We need to forgive them. We need to forget them. We need to pray for them. Think of good qualities in that person. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's a lot to accomplish, but the Word of God makes it very plain that that's what should happen to us if we want to think on things that are lovely. Think on things of good report. Good report means to speak well of. You know, our own nature we have and rejoices in degrading information about others. Result, when we do that, we feel superior to that person. We're not as bad as they are. We're better than they are. We have the inside information, and it affects our attitude, and it causes tension. We're all familiar with the scripture in Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if our brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When we hear a bad report, do not repeat it, but pray. And then seek for good qualities in that person. Seventh, think, seek for virtue. Virtue is looking for right actions and thinking right attitudes. Look for things in life that gives God glory. Things that get brethren and sisters, men and women, boys and girls, to look heavenward. As we deal with people, does our influence cause them to grow in their walk with the Lord or to hinder their walk with the Lord? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to everyone that is among you not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, we need to fix our mind, our attention on eternal values, rise above the everyday way of life. Think of ways to praise. You know, we live in an age of ingratitude. We need to look for things to praise God for. How many days do you get up and go through a day and don't even thank the Lord for your health, for the gift of salvation, for your family, for the home you have, your work, even our government, even though there's a lot of corruption, we still have a lot of freedoms. For your church family, do we praise the Lord and thank the Lord for those things? At the same time, we need to be careful not to give praise to anything that displeases the Lord. If you want healthy, happy, spiritual, robust minds, we need to ask ourselves this question before letting our minds dwell on anything. Is this something that God would want me to be thinking about? That's a sobering question. Is this something that God wants me to be thinking about? Does it please Him? Will it bring glory to Him as I think about this and dwell on it? A pessimist sees a calamity in every opportunity. An optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. What are you? Remember Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that evil or is that God in your life and in my life? What we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. The Word of God is given to us to straighten out our thinking. How is your thinking tonight? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. And 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That verse involves so many things. As we go out on the streets, in our towns, wherever we go, there's nakedness all around. And we need to bring our thought life into captivity and turn our eyes away from that. When we see all the problems in the world and people mistreated, we can have wrong attitudes. You know, there's a lot of people in our country are looking for handouts. They don't want to work. They just want to get handouts. And it's so easy for us to have wrong attitudes for them, toward them. We need to pray for them. We need to do all we can to encourage them to develop good work habits. I believe that every day that the Lord has given for us to serve here on this earth, He will supply the strength and the grace for every one of us, but we need to keep our hearts and minds on His will. Do you have that assurance? Our minds are busy continually, but where do you spend most of your time? What do you spend most of your time thinking on? And I think this verse here in Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, if it be any virtue, if it be any praise, think on these things. George Pentecost shared this true account. He was preaching at a particular church, and before the service, there was a young, timid girl asked the teacher, will you pray for me at the meeting? But please don't mention my name. And later on in the meeting, when every head was bowed and there was a perfect silence, he prayed for her. Well, Lord, there's a young girl here who does not want her name mentioned, known, but thou dost know her. Save her precious soul. There was quietness for a moment. Then way back, and a young girl arose and with a pleading voice said, please, it's me. Jesus, it's me. She was not ashamed when the Holy Spirit called her to deal with her thought life. I think it was some pride there in her life. She didn't want to humble herself. But when the Spirit of God worked in her heart, she knew she had to be thinking different. And the Holy Spirit changed her thinking. Some of us may have heard of Jenny Lind, who was a great success as an opera singer. And she was very popular. She could sing very well. And she was gaining riches. But she left the stage when she's just singing her best, and never returned to the stage. One day, a friend of hers seen her sitting on the sea sands by the shore, with a Bible on her knee, looking out at the glory of a beautiful sunset. And this friend of hers asked her, "Why did you leave the stage at the very height of your success?" And this was her answer: "Because that success made me think less of the word of the Lord and nothing at all of the life after our life is completed here." So we see it's important that we allow the Spirit of God to touch our lives and to think on the things that matter. As we're young, there are so many things we get involved in and we think are so important. But as we get older and realize that our time here on earth is short, it's important that our minds are on eternal things. And I think it's important that we realize that of how we think about life and the hereafter will determine our testimony for the Lord. What are people seeing in your life and in my life? Are we living for today? Are we living for eternity? May God richly bless each one of us to think on these things.